dock and number three.
On the dock and number three.
To the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
The love is once again.
On the bright side of the road.
Channel Radio.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. I feel good. No one's gonna stop me now. Oh yeah. It's a beautiful day. I feel right. No one's gonna stop me now, mama. Sometimes I feel so sad, so sad, so bad, but no one's gonna stop me now. No one.
It certainly is a beautiful day. That was Queen there. Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, 2014. Welcome. You're listening to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk with me, Angela Breyer Stevenson. Wow, what a debut year 2013 was. Our health and wellbeing show, Who Cares Wins, launched in March and we had some fantastic guests. We certainly had a giggle as well. And for you today, I've pulled together some highlights from previous shows. We certainly learnt a lot, well I did, and we had some fun along the way.
Carol, juice therapist.
What's a juice therapist?
A juice therapist is somebody who can support you and teach you how to introduce nature's fast food, really. Good nutrition.
I like that. Nature's fast food. Hey,
I'm just so intrigued by these colours. We've got a green one and a red one. Tell me more.
This one here.
Oh, there's two. Oh, they're two different green ones.
They're two different
okay.
ones.
Okay. Now, is there going to be a taste test?
Yeah, a taste test.
A taste test.
Now, you had a juice from me before.
I did, yes.
And you asked me.
I did.
To bring you one. And I think it's this one.
I think it does, yes.
So if you have a taste
test. Am I going to have a slurp?
Have a slurp. And
I'm reaching across, listener. I'm about to slurp. I'll be back.
That will have some apple, pineapple, some cucumber.
Oh, that's lovely. So what have we got in here? Apple.
Apple, pineapple.
Pineapple.
Cucumber.
Cucumber.
Some lime.
Lime.
And I've blended it with avocado.
Avocado.
Avocado. Isn't that fattening?
Avocado. Don't they say that loads on the calories?
Yes, they do.
But that's wrong?
Absolutely. It's the fats we need. We need fats.
We do need fats.
We've been encouraged not to have avocados or nuts and seeds.
Yeah. And nuts and seeds are now becoming quite hip-hop, aren't they? We should be having more of those.
We should, yes. The right kind of fats.
So does this have a particular name? Is this like a...
That's the turbocharge.
This is the turbocharge. Yes, this is Angela. I like this guy.
And of course, what makes it so green is the spinach.
No wonder there's plenty of energy.
I'm Popeye. Look at my muscles. Look, they're improving already. This is fantastic. I'm going to go for it. Yeah, I'm going to go for this red one. She's reaching across.
That's a very earthy juice.
Earthy.
Earthy.
Hey, baby.
Very good for high blood pressure. Give you lots of stamina.
Oh, now I'm liking that
Now tell me what's in it.
That's very simple. It's got carrot, apple and beetroot.
That's the red, the beetroot. Mm. And is that raw or cooked beetroot?
No, raw.
Raw beetroot?
Mm.
Am I going to be okay?
Don't eat raw food. Beetroot, Angela.
Really, Carol?
No.
She's telling me off. The fingers
You'll
out.
You'll have no live enzymes in there whatsoever.
Live enzymes. Mm. I need to find out more about live enzymes.
You do, yes.
Yes, I do. Sue's happily swigging away over there.
My question really is, do you have any alternatives to having cold?
There is one that you have hot, and that's a hug in a mug.
Oh.
And
a hug in a mug.
A hug in a mug.
That sounds grand.
And that's half an apple, a third of a lemon, chunk of ginger, juice that, put it in a mug, top it up with hot water.
Oh, lovely.
Teaspoon of honey.
Oh,
wrap the hands around the mug.
Or the mug, as my husband would say.
Aye.
Sit there by the fire.
And have a bath.
And shut up.
Have a hug in a mug in my bath. Well, welcome, Louise. It is fantastic to have you on the show at the same time as Jane.
And next time I definitely will come down. I'm so sorry I can't be with you today.
That's fine. Well, you're with us over the phone lines and the powers that be. All is now working, which
fabulous.
Is fabulous. So just remind our listeners, Louise, that you are ringing in from wonderful Wingham, I am presuming.
Yes, I am.
Mindfulness retreat, but also Mindfulness at Work Limited that
Absolutely.
You set up.
Yes.
Back in 2010, is that right?
That's right, yes.
So just remind the listeners, your aim for Mindfulness at Work Limited.
Yes, well, I've been practicing mindfulness for nearly 20 years now, and I used to work in the city, and I would never have been able to do the job that I did and cope with the pressures of it and still be somebody who my friends and family wanted to hang out with if I hadn't had the incredible good fortune of having a neighbour who introduced me to mindfulness. And I could see how cool and collected and calm they were under stress, and I wanted to know, you know, how and why, and they told me about this thing they did called mindfulness, and so I badgered them to teach me. So my practice goes back a long way.
Mm.
Well, with the sort of advent of functional MRI scans and encephalographs, the science sort of caught up with my personal experience, and science started to show that mindfulness practice actually changes the structure of the brain and helps you to be more positive and more focused and have more empathy. And I thought, well, you know, I've been so incredibly lucky to learn this practice completely by chance and have it changed my life for the better in the most incredible way. I really felt sort of it was, you know, I had to be of service and share this with other people. So with my business partner, Caroline Hopkins, and I, we founded Mindfulness at Work, and we train mindfulness to groups in the workplace. And that means that actually the training is very, very low cost. It's, you know, from £65 per person for a four-week course.
Fantastic.
So we've trained hundreds of people, and, you know, our aim really was to set up a company that would help hundreds of thousands of people learn about mindfulness, learn how to practice it themselves, and have that opportunity that I've had. I think the thing about mindfulness is it's a way of coming off the sort of autopilot, the kind of coming out of the kind of groove of doing things in a certain way, and it enables you to become the witness of your own thoughts and kindness as well to yourself. But you know, when you do that, you start to use a different area of your brain. You start to use your prefrontal cortex rather than your amygdala, which is your sort of fight or flight reactive area of your brain. And so, when you start to do that, you start to have a little bit more. The word control is wrong, but you are able to observe what is going on, and then you can make a choice. You behave to respond in a different way. So pretty much, I wouldn't like to say everything, but I haven't really found anything yet that mindfulness doesn't really help with. maybe getting the shopping done, and certainly doing the washing up certainly makes it more enjoyable. But it does. It makes you much more aware. It's a deepened awareness.
Is our wonderful guest for this afternoon, John Tipping. Hello, John.
Good afternoon.
John Tipping, who are you?
John Tipping. I am a dyslexic entrepreneur. I'm severely dyslexic, never been able to read and write. I've written a book about my life with dyslexia. I run a company fitting window film and selling window film all over the country. And I just love business.
Your book, John, for some of our listeners who may well be, when I first met you as well, there's the hang on, can't read, can't write.
Yep.
Writing a book.
Lots of people ask me that question, especially when I'm talking to school kids or young adults.
Yes.
But you can't read and write. How did you do that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a software, again, which lots of people use. But I actually had a wonderful lady who we met called Frances Kavanagh.
Oh,
and
yes.
She used to come round sometimes as much as 3 nights a week.
Wow.
Put a microphone in front of me.
So you're used to these things.
Yes, and asked me loads of questions. And we decided with the book, and it's Go Playing San John, we decided in the book that it would be warts and all. Because with my depression I had because of dyslexia,
yeah.
And it's no excuse, I was not the best boy going.
Oh, I think you'll disagree with that. We disagree with that.
No skeletons left in my closet.
John, tell us about the title, Go Play in the Sand, John.
Yes. Go Play in the Sand, John. When I was first started school in 1970, I had a speech impediment. I struggled with so many words. I think there's more words I struggled with than what I actually could get out
sure.
properly. And so I went over to Margate because I was born and brought up in Broadstairs. I went to see a speech therapist and I used to try so hard to get this word out. At one time she saw me, I was clutching my fist so much I was drawing blood.
No way.
And she used to say to me before it happened, go play in the sand, John, because it took my attention out. And there was a little play pit just in the same room.
Oh, right.
So it took your attention off. And it's always been, that title's always been quite apt for me.
Yeah.
All I need is within me now. And it is very true. It's always in you, just need to bring it out.
It is, yeah. Wonderful guest, Jeanette Beetham. Her business is called Right Resources Limited. The word, if I use the label dyslexia, what is it?
Well, dys means difficulty with,
mm-hmm.
and lexia means lexicon, vocabulary, words, whatever.
Right.
However, that might be where it shows itself with some people. However, there's a whole host of things happening underneath. So it's the underlying challenges that can affect people's acquisition of literacy and numeracy and musical notation. And
right.
It's all of those underlying challenges that most people, even if they are dyslexic, don't necessarily understand.
Right.
And even if they've had full diagnostic assessments for their dyslexia, more often than not, they've not had the opportunity to sit down with someone and have dyslexia actually explained to them. If someone is born dyslexic, that is just part of them. They won't know any difference.
No, that's
they
their
won't know what
world.
Their dyslexia is doing to them.
Yes, that's
and
interesting.
And so it's all these underlying challenges that they really need to understand, and then they can start to build more strategies to help them, not just in work, but actually in life in general. Because
indeed.
Dyslexia is 24/7.
Yes, it's not a 9-to-5, is
no.
it?
No, and so I feel really privileged to be able to do this kind of work because as well as doing the awareness raising, I then went on to actually work with employers, which,
yes,
I did all of that work. And now I work within the workplace. But I do a whole host of different things. So I do workplace needs assessments, coaching, awareness in the workplace, because a lot of it, employers are still not aware of the opportunity of dyslexia because
yes.
there are also strengths associated with it.
Yes, as we said earlier.
And the fact that if there are people underperforming, there's an opportunity for those people to get support and be able to be a really valuable resource. And
that's
if they feel
right.
confident,
yep.
then they're more likely to really exploit those strengths that they've got.
Mm.
If you need the pointy stick on dyslexia, actually, employers probably don't realise that they have an obligation under the Equality Act to be dyslexia friendly.
Yes.
Because after a landmark case in 2007, all dyslexia is now covered under the Equality Act. being dyslexia friendly just makes good business sense.
Thank you, Jeanette. Yes, looking after individuals, employers, people in the community, very much who cares wins. Everyone cares, everyone wins. And now I think it's time for some music, and I feel in the need to perhaps go and build something.
Gonna build a mountain from a little hill. Gonna build a mountain, least I hope I will. Gonna build a mountain, gonna build it high. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, only know I'm gonna try. Gonna build a daydream from a little hope. Gonna push that daydream up the mountain slope. Gonna build a daydream, gonna see it through. Gonna build a mountain and a daydream, gonna make them both come true. Gonna build a heaven from a little hell. Gonna build a heaven, and I know damn well, if I build my mountain with a lot of care and take my daydream up the mountain, heaven will be waiting there. Gonna build a mountain from a little hell. Gonna build a heaven, and I know damn well, with a fine young son who will take my place. There'll be a son in my heaven on earth with the Lord's grace. When I built that heaven, as I will someday, gonna build a new life, throw the old away. You and I together, gonna make life swing. We'll fill tomorrow full of happiness, gonna make the whole world swing. We'll fill tomorrow full of happiness, gonna make the whole world swing. We'll fill tomorrow full of happiness, make the whole world.
Channel Radio. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. That was Gonna Build a Mountain by Matt Munro. So I've built my mountain, and now it's time for some more of my highlights from 2013.
Lynn Marchant, how would you describe yourself?
I guess I deliver health and work interventions. Health and work specialist. Consultant, whatever.
Consultant, yeah, coach, words. Trainer.
Coach, trainer, yeah.
A woman of many talents.
Yes.
And also lead for Kent Mindful Employer. As well as being the lead for Kent Mindful Employer. But you are also, in your own right, Lynn Marchant, you're out there doing your own thing. Just tell the listeners about that.
Well, as I say, over the years, talking to individuals, both people who want to get back into work, who have been, you know, excluded for one reason, and employers, I've developed programs that can help businesses become more mindful about their staff, about health, without being all pink and fluffy. You know, just doing the legal stuff, but doing it in a human way. Again, the shared needs. We all have shared needs, a sense of control, a sense of meaning, and a sense of worth. Doesn't matter who you are, up and down the country, we've all got those shared needs, and it's about recognising those and building on them in your workplace.
No Place Like Home, from our brief chats about it. It was a very different direction, but you had a bit of inspiration, didn't you, that really made you change direction?
I did. I've always been interested in doing my own thing, and over the very many years I've thought about different business opportunities. And about a decade ago, my mother-in-law, unfortunately, had a stroke at our dining room table.
Okay, great.
And we started, my husband and I, and my sister-in-law and her husband, obviously had the challenge of sourcing care for my mother-in-law and also my father-in-law who is registered blind.
Right.
And we sort of observed how they kind of coped with it over that period. And I became really interested in later life and how people cope with the challenge of things not panning out potentially how they thought they would.
Yeah.
So did lots and lots of research because I'm that sort of person.
Yes.
Looked at models from the United States, sort of some of the franchise models, looked at existing care companies, and there are a whole host of brilliant companies out there, and I will re-emphasise that. And, then in 2007, my own father was diagnosed with vascular dementia, very sadly. And that then made me think, you know, I'm going to have to do something about this because Mum and I had to source care for Dad.
Yes.
And as his, obviously, his situation changed and his condition changed.
Yes.
We then had to work out how and plan for that sort of next stage.
Yeah.
And so that really was what where my inspiration came from. And finally, I took the leap to do something about it and set up my own business in last July, Friday the 13th of July.
You launched No Place Like Home.
What do we do exactly?
Well, if I have a sort of later life in my head of, okay, I'd contact you for what?
Well, it's very much companionship based. Right. That's our primary purpose, first and foremost. In terms of day to day, what that might mean, as I said before, it would be depend on every individual because everybody is different.
Indeed.
So let me give you a few examples of clients that we currently have.
Yeah.
A person who has decided that they actually would like to move to a residential care home.
Okay.
But they would like some support in helping them make that move. So all the packing up and the things they have to do, the shopping errands that they have to go on. Generally, the sort of support, morale support as well, because they're on their own. They don't have any other family.
Mm.
So they come to us because we are sort of in loco familii, let me say.
Yes.
So that's one example. And we're going to continue with a relationship with that person once they've moved in. And I guess the model is very much about relationship building.
And you have a lovely little quote to finish us off with today, don't you?
Yes, I have one. My mum's been a huge inspiration.
Aww.
And this one is not only hers, but I think my dad used to have it up as well. So this is it. And I'm sure many will know it already, but I like it. Look to this day, for it is the very life of life. Yesterday was but a dream, and tomorrow a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. So look to this day.
It's Jessie time!
Yay! Go dudes! Go dudettes! As we did on Saturday, 31st of August, we were there and we had a personal training session with the marvellous, the awesome and the most genuine guy ever I've met involved with fitness and exercise called Jessie Pavelka. And I managed to get a very brief moment of his time and I asked him a few questions.
Well, I'm a patron of Hoop, and so I go around and I help kind of spread awareness, get people involved. You know, the issue is a lot of people that have issues with obesity, they're like, where do I go?
Yeah.
Where do I go? And there are things out there, but there's just not enough accessibility.
No.
And the good thing about Hoop is a lot of it is web-based. There are physical locations as well, but it's a place for people to go to be listened to, you know, and find solutions. And I think that's a pretty incredible thing, and it's something that really kind of that drew me towards Hoop. And because I get email after email, and I can only answer so many, a lot of messages, and you read these, and you're just like, I want to help this person, but I can't.
Yeah,
I can send them a nice message, but is that going to help?
Yeah.
So it's things like Hoop that do make positive change and long lasting change, and it's a place for people to go for accountability. Yeah, it's a good thing.
And here's what Jesse suggested for someone to motivate themselves to start exercising.
I think it's different for everybody. Some people are easily motivated at the start of a program. It's new, it's exciting, and the problem is staying motivated. Can you stay motivated? I tell people to take the body and the mind to follow.
Yeah.
Do something for 5 minutes. Go outside and go for a walk for 5 minutes. And if you feel like turning around and going home, go for it. But the majority of the time, you're going to keep going. You're out in it. And it's as simple as getting outdoors. You know, it's funny about training in nature. It really opens up your mind.
Mm.
When you're sitting in a box, we live in boxes.
Yeah.
We wake up in a box.
Yep.
We walk to a box in a car. We'll call that the car. It's
yeah.
a box.
It's a box.
We take that box to another box.
Yeah.
And we sit in front of a box
yeah.
and type.
A box. Yeah.
yeah. Computer.
Yeah.
The great thing about being outdoors is it opens up your mind, and it gives you solutions, I find.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a great thing. That's why I say take the body and the mind will follow. Get outdoors. Mm-hmm. Go do something. Go walk for 5 minutes, and you'll be shocked at how your mind shifts.
Oh.
It's kind of like, well, okay, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, now I'm out.
Yeah.
Might as well keep going.
Yeah, I might as well keep going.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just kind of faking it till you make it all.
Yeah.
You are going to guide us through a very sort of brief teaser taster of EFT. Let's go for it. So over to you, Jane. We are in your hands.
Certainly. Lovely. We can make a start. Anybody who participates in a bit of EFT, especially if you're at home and you're on your own, or you have to take some responsibility if something comes up, then just do some deep heart breathing.
Okay.
To bring yourself back into
get them back into
balance.
What the room and where they are and what
Correct.
They're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to start by asking you all to think about something that you'd like to work on. We don't have much time, so just think about something. It's a bit of a niggle, or you'd like it to be different, and then you just take that thing and we're going to be quite general here,
yeah,
which we wouldn't be if we were doing proper EFT. We'd get specific.
Sure.
Right. And I want you to scale it from 0 to 10, what your numbers are. Write your number down.
Can you remind me, is the 0 the worst or 10 is the worst?
0 is impartial and 10 is the worst it can be.
And is that at this moment or is that
generally? If you can kind of take a moment to tune in with it.
Right.
Yeah. So really if you can tune into it when it is at its worst. And sometimes that's a bit of a challenge when you're in a situation.
Okay. I've got my number.
Okay.
So have I.
Okay. So we're just going to start with our... Normally we would go through and show you the tapping points, but we're just going to do them as we learn on the run here.
Okay.
Okay. So we start by tapping on the fleshy side of the hand, which we call the karate chop.
Any hand?
Either side. As
Not
we
that
go,
I've got loads.
No. Okay, but you do have a choice.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually move over from one to the other. And as we go through the points, you can either side of the face as we go through the
okay.
facial points. There's no rule to it. And although we're learning them in a particular order, you can actually do them in any old order as well.
Right.
So let's get going. So you're tapping the side of the hand and you start to speak. So I speak and you repeat after me.
Right, okay.
So it is a speaking out loud process.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have this thing.
I have this thing.
Where we'd normally be specific.
Sure.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Accept myself anyway.
Accept myself anyway.
Even though. This thing's quite a niggle.
This thing's quite a niggle.
But I am okay. Even though I've got this thing.
Even though I've got this thing.
And I really would like it to be different.
And I really would like it to be different.
I love and accept myself anyway.
I love and accept myself anyway.
And now we go to the top of the head. And it's kind of in between the forehead and the crown. This thing. And I'm trusting that you know what this thing is.
Yeah.
So you're tuning in with that as we're doing the tapping.
Yeah.
The eyebrow. So not the bridge of the nose, but the end of the eyebrow next to the bridge of the nose. And you can use one or two fingers to tap.
Yeah. I wonder if my tapping's coming on here. Sorry if it is.
Yeah, we might all be doing that, mightn't we? This thing.
This thing.
The side of the eye, it's the other end of the eyebrow on the bone.
Yeah.
This niggle.
This niggle.
Under the eye on the bone, directly under the pupil. It really bugs me.
It really bugs me.
Under the nose. This thing bugs me so much.
This thing bugs me so much.
Under the mouth, which is just in the little crevice there. Mm-hmm. This thing drives me nuts.
This thing drives me nuts.
On the collarbone, which is an inch down and an inch in, we can just tap one side or the other or both. I just don't want this anymore.
I just don't want this anymore.
Under the arm, 4 inches down, like a little monkey. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm a monkey.
This thing. And then we won't do the finger points. We'll just go back to the top of the head. This thing sometimes interrupts me.
This thing sometimes interrupts me.
The eyebrow again. I wish it was different.
I wish it was different.
Side of the eye. It's really getting in the way.
It's really getting in the way.
Under the eye. It really troubles me. Under the nose. This thing. Under the mouth. I want you to just say the number. This number thing.
This six thing.
Yeah. 5.5 thing.
Collarbone. I've had enough.
I've had enough.
Under the arm. It's getting in the way. Now, just take a nice deep breath. Okay, we've been quite vague here, but let's see. Has your number changed since you started?
Yep.
Has it gone up? Has it gone down?
Mine's gone down.
Yeah. And can you say how much?
Mine's a 2.
Okay.
Mine's a 4.
Okay.
So I've gone from a 6 to a 4.
Okay. And you've gone from a five and a half to a two. Okay.
Mm. That was great fun with Jane and my number for going down from 5.5 to 2. Thoroughly enjoyed that, doing the old tapping in the studio. And now it's time for some more music. And one of my favourite tracks by Meatloaf is very appropriate for some of the themes of our shows and future shows, No Matter What.
Dream is being born. now no matter why.
Change for Life is about making changes to be healthier, like getting off 5 a day. It's not hard. Often we're halfway there and don't realise it, like a banana in our cereal, glass of fruit juice at breakfast or veg in our soup. Even tinned, dried and frozen count. It's easy to be food smart. For tasty 5 a day ideas and recipes for cheap healthier meals, search Change for Life online.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk. I'm here in the studio looking back at some of my highlights of 2013, and here's a few more with a few more giggles.
I've also trained as a boxer size instructor, so I do personal training, and I've brought my boxer size gloves along. So Sue and Jan, later on after the show, we're going to have some fun, and I'm going to be on the camera. So watch out, listeners, Facebook pages. If you're on our Who Cares Wins Radio page on Facebook, there will be some pictures of Jan and Sue, and maybe I'll be in there. But having some fun with some pink boxing gloves and getting some activity. I love this. Are we ready, folks?
We certainly are.
A three, a two, a one, two.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black, I say white. You say bar, I say bike. You say shark, I say
him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Roy,
I say Roy.
You say God.
Give me a choice.
Say Lord.
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
I want to ride my bike now after listening to that. I should have biked here, really, shouldn't I?
That doesn't count, Angela. It's got a motor.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Well, I do a bit of leaning.
Yeah, but no pedaling.
All right, then. But then if I came on my push bike, I wouldn't be able to give you a lift, so that'd be difficult. Oh, we could do a tandem.
Hey. They do three tandem bikes.
Well, we can get creative, you know.
Wallace and Gromit sidecar.
Okay, who's who? No, let's not go there, listener. Oh, yes.
Stretch is a really good thing. If you think of all, like, the cats and dogs, they stretch all the time.
She's off again.
Completely throwing me with that one.
Downship.
Right, that's it.
She's off, we lost it, yeah. But it is, you're right, the actual sleep, but having that proper rest.
Yeah, because we don't really stretch enough. And it's always a good thing in the morning to stretch quite a lot, stretch our backs, because we're all crumpled up at night time.
Laughing is a great workout. Just putting on a piece of music that you can get up and have a good old bop around the lounge to and have a real old giggle, or maybe watching one of the movies or a comedy that really makes you laugh. In fact, tears run down your cheeks and you are laughing. And I don't know if any of you listeners out there have experienced that. I have, and I love it, is that my stomach hurts from laughing. My cheeks hurt from laughing so much.
No pain, no gain.
Well, there is that. And so actually it's a really good workout. It gets the oxygen in, you're oxygenating your body. You actually do find that you're sitting up and then you're bending over, so there's the whole stomach crunches going on without realising it. As you can see, I'm getting all excited about it. Tim Box from Headway Hypnotherapy.
See, I should stress, what we're about to do is not hypnosis. So this is simply an exercise with your imagination, with your subconscious mind. And I mentioned before that your subconscious mind is the real powerful bit of your thinking, and it's the bit that's doing everything. So when we do hypnosis, we need to make sure we can actually get communication with it, get access to it, so that we can make a change. So should we do this now then?
Yeah, let's do it. Jan, are you up?
I'm ready.
You're
right,
ready?
Okay, good.
So I am sitting comfortably.
Right. Now, all I want both of you to do, and everyone out there who's listening, and as I say, if you're listening to this on playback, you can still do this. It's not something exclusive to where it's going out live. You won't be left in any strange state or anything, because this isn't hypnosis.
Will it take me out of my strange state that I'm already in?
Well, you know.
Too late.
Hypnosis can do a lot of wonderful things with it.
He's already clocked, isn't he? Yeah. For 10 minutes he's been with me. Okay,
so all I want people to do now, put down whatever you've got in your hands and just rest your hands flat on a surface in front of you, or even on your legs, on your knees, something like that. And you might consciously decide to wiggle your fingers or drum your fingers, but I want you to stop doing that now, because that's you consciously doing it. Now this is going to be almost like something's doing itself. It's not going to be your conscious mind that's doing it. Now this might work for some of you, it might not work for some of you. But let's see, this is one of the things that you would do if you came in to see me for a consult, just to see how your imagination works. I like to find out what you can do well, what you can't do well. But just rest your hands on the surface in front of you. Spread your fingers out slightly and just, you can look at your hands or your eyes can wander around the room, but it's good to look at your hands, because I want you to know when your fingers do something. Okay, and now I'm speaking only now to your subconscious mind. Everyone out there, everyone in here, I'm speaking only to your subconscious mind. And I want your subconscious mind now to choose a finger or thumb of either hand, just one finger or thumb, to take control of that finger or thumb of either hand, and when it has complete and independent control of that finger or thumb of either hand, I want it just to move it as a little signal for yes.
Squeak from now Angela.
That suggested something happened quite quickly there that time, Angela.
It did.
That was your little finger of
my little finger of my right hand leapt.
Now, for everyone else listening, this may start with a feeling. You may start to feel one of the fingers or thumbs feel different. Or, as just happened in Angela's case there, the finger or thumb just may suddenly move out of nowhere. But it's not like you're consciously doing it. If you're consciously doing it, you're doing it wrong. You just got to rest them there and allow your subconscious mind just to maybe lift the finger, twitch the finger. There it goes again from Angela. That's brilliant. And well done. And what
it's
I'd love to
hear... It's very bizarre as well, because I am listening to you, honestly.
Of course you are.
But I'm also just staring off and reading something that's actually on the console here. So I'm sort of listening to you.
You're taking your conscious attention somewhere else, which is a good way of doing it. Some people need to do that. Other people actually guess which finger's going to go. And then it might be the finger that they thought it might not be. We never know. And it might be stuck. So basically, I want you just, everyone now just to relax their hands. We'll stop that now. Allow your subconscious mind just to let go of that finger and just shake your hands out. All done. But if that works for you, I'd love to hear you get your tweets and just see if we had some people trying that and if it worked for them. Or certainly if they do this on the playback and they're just doing it at home at any time. It'd be lovely to find out.
What's going on here?
A couple of people I took a photo of Tim looking over at your hands, kneeling on the chair. Health and safety's gone out the window this afternoon. So if it didn't work for somebody, and I have to put my hand up, my fingers didn't twitch, didn't get any sensation.
Okay. Mm. Well, I'll tell you something. There's an interesting story. I was doing a presentation to a group.
Shall we get Tim to sit down, bless him? He's still
perched. We're talking amongst ourselves.
I'm kneeling on the chair here, looking over the top of the console.
I'm going to do my, just relax. Be comfortable, Tim.
Okay, yeah. I did this presentation to a group a couple of months ago. Half the room had fingers wiggling around and lifting up. Half the group didn't. And one of the people who it didn't work for came up to see me. She was due to come and see me for a session the next day. And she came up after the talk and she said, is there any point in me coming to see you? Because it didn't work for me. And I said, well, look, you know, let's see. That's only one of the things we're going to do. Your mind might not like doing that one. It might do something else a lot better. Mm. But when she came in to see me the next day, we did that exact exercise. And the finger just leapt in the air all on its own. And it was simply that she could do it fine. Her mind could do this fine. But it wasn't going to do it in a room full of people.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't going to do it that day. Yeah, but that maybe exactly it, you know, and it was just like, no, I don't need to do this now because I'm doing that with Tim tomorrow. Mm. So there was no real motivation for her subconscious to play along at that point.
No.
So if that didn't work for you, or if you've got nothing at all, doesn't mean you can't do hypnosis. All it means is that particular imagination exercise isn't the best one for you.
I can highly recommend Men of Kanku. If you go to the website Kanku, that's kanku.co.uk, you'll see they've got little videos and things on there, but they do the opportunity for you to take a four-wheel drive out, and you go in the Lake District, and they take you on the trails that you can normally walk, or you would take a bush bike. You can go on there in a 4x4, and I obviously went in the Land Rover, that's what I wanted to do, and they are absolutely fantastic because they will take you up these rock steps. They are basically, you'd look at the trail and you think, well, I wouldn't even walk up there, let alone drive. But with their guided tuition, and they keep you nice and calm and relaxed.
I would say blood pressure's just going through sky high at the moment.
No, it's all nice and calm and relaxed. And they guide you through everything that you need to do, keep your thumbs outside the wheel, etc. And they guide you up how the route you take, and you go over. And you just literally climb these rocks and boulders, and it is absolutely amazing. But of course, the hard work is really, really worthwhile, because when you get to the top, one of the trails you get is to the top, and you see Coniston Water.
Oh, yes, beautiful.
And so you look down, and obviously the marker where a certain gentleman had a bit of an accident in a boat. It is a boat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, I can highly recommend if you... That's the one, thank you. That if you want to escape from it all, your health and well-being, and you need a nice rest. I know it sounds bizarre.
Fear and it
is. There is no...
It turns into acceleration.
Well, there's a book out there anyway, Feel the Fear and Do It. Mm. So feel the fear and go to Men of Kanku. They've got a Facebook page as well, which I've liked, naturally. Actually, all joking aside, there is a huge link with health and well-being. And, of course, the Lake District is a marvellous place. And it's often, I think, it's overlooked. That people
you also said to. Just... improving your driving skills and your confidence
definitely.
In general.
Definitely. I think
and that's health and safety.
I'm going to start lobbying the government because I think it should be part of the
driving
test.
Yeah, up a mountain.
Let's go to Men of Kanku and have a driving test with them. Then maybe we'll pass you and you can drive on the road. Because Martin Fever, your business name is the Mind and Body Connection.
That's right. Well, thank you.
Or the mind-body connection.
Well, yeah, it just arose many years ago, but the mind-body connection is very much related, if you like, about moving forward. So applauding where you are now and actually seeing a pathway forwards that you want to take yourself. And I mean, I work with men, not just men, I work with some women as well, but mainly men who need a helping hand at some point in their lives. My background is very much in athletics and basketball and gymnastics. They're the areas that I came through.
Do a backflip on the way out, can we?
If we had a video camera, I would have done it. I've been a very physical guy all my life in terms of I've loved running. That was my main passion for many years.
We have some stories. We'll be able
did
to
you
share.
Compete?
I competed and I actually went over to the States many years ago in my dim and distant past and did some competing out there. I would never say I was going for world glory, put it that way.
you're on Who Cares Wins.
Exactly.
World domination.
Yes.
One of the aspects I've discovered is incredibly important is the actual physicality of a person, and also, and by that I mean, do they move, basically?
Yes,
it doesn't matter.
Yes.
We're not looking at necessarily going for triathlons. We're not looking at necessarily running for buses. It's actually, do you climb the stairs even?
Yes.
To me, the biggest obstacle in life these days for most people is sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact of sugar on the mental state of most people is incredible. It's depressing. People always say to me, oh, I'm going to have a chocolate bar as a treat. And I always think to myself, actually, that's almost a form of abuse, but you can't see it.
Yeah.
And it's nothing holier than now. I like my old box of Maltesers and I like those sorts of things as well.
I'm just hiding my chocolate bar. I'm just
rustling.
Yeah, it's actually very much about keeping things real and, if you like, in perspective as well.
Of course. Just finishing off my Christmas chocolates there. Thank you, Martin, to remind me to dig into my bag and find them. Of course, they're not a treat, Martin. And now it's time for a little bit more music, and I think it's a bit time to perhaps work off some of that chocolate. So I'm going to get up and bop around the studio and listen to Let's Turn It On by Queen.
1, 2, 3, 4 Let's turn it on.
Radio.
Oh, I'm all worn out. I have to sit down now. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk. That's it. We're nearly running out of time. That was my look back at some of the highlights of 2013. So many to include. Didn't have enough time, as always. We always run out of time on our shows. Perhaps I need to think about extending our show. What do you think? Let me know. Facebook us. Tweet us. I may have missed some of you out. I do apologise. But one of the huge big thanks is to all of our guests for making the show what it was in 2013 and what it will continue to be in 2014. And some other thanks, of course, I need to mention Sue Parker, who joined us earlier on in the year. Jan Mulligan, bless her, she puts up with all of my strange humour and my jokes and my interruptions. And Channel Radio, especially our producer Paul Andrews, and Mike, the marvellous IT technician, has helped us with compiling today's show and all of the recordings and making sure it's up there for you to listen. The biggest thanks, of course, to you, the listeners. Without you, I would just talk to the wall, which I could probably do, but it's all the better when we have our listeners interacting with us. Remember, you can still get in touch with us through Facebook or through the Twitter feed. And, of course, we've got more great guests. Next week, we have Sonia Hurran, who is a parent and teenager coaching specialist. So if you are perhaps having some difficulties with your teenager and want some help and some guidance, tune in next week to hear what Sonia has to tell us. This show will be repeated on Thursday at 12 o'clock. And, of course, you can listen back through the Listen Again facility on Channel Radio or through my website, anotherjourneybegins.com, under the Who Cares Wins page, or Jan's website, greenleaf.co.uk, under resources. And, as always, we finish, normally, if we have time, on the show with an inspirational insight. And I have two, because I'm greedy. My first one is from the dear Nelson Mandela, who sadly passed away in 2013. And he said one of many things. He said, "A good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination." And the other one is from John Kabat-Zinn, the guy behind mindfulness. And he said, "Life only unfolds in moments. Live each one as fully as you can. Enjoy the rest of your week. And Happy New Year to everyone. Speak to you all next week. Bye for now."
Sometimes I don't know why. At times it goes by so fast. In the twinkling of an eye. Let's enjoy it while we can.
Let's enjoy it while we can.
Help me share my load.
Help me share my load.
On the dark and lonely street. To the bright side. The road.
look